Broadcasting live, high atop the Nashville Sports Radio Broadcasting Complex. Time now for the Millennial Sports Morning.
Millennials, who are they? What do they want?
With your host, Zach Williams. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream.
Humans are disgusting.
Millennial Sports Mornings is brought to you by Slim Chickens, with locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
It's another beautiful Saturday morning in the Music City, so you know what time it is. It is time for MSM, lovingly called Millennial Sports Mornings, here on Nashville Sports Radio. I am Zach Williams, behind the board, Ray Dosky, and to the left of me, Bobby Part-Time is with us, Bobby Stevens. It's a good day. We're in. It gets clustered. You know, sometimes you got to just sit back, and you got to internalize, and you got to breathe, and then you're good. That's all it is. And we're here. Another week is in the books, and it's time to chop it up. Young style? I don't know. I don't know how that would work. But younger style than what it is. A lot of things happening in the world. First off, let's go Bobby. Or sorry, not Bobby. Bobby second. Ray, how are you doing today,
good,
buddy?
Good, man. What's up?
I don't know. What's your name? You know your name.
Ray.
Ray. that's like that. No, we can't talk about that in this.
We can't.
But you know what I'm talking about. Ray. Yeah. How was your week, man? I'm glad
to see you. It's been crazy, man.
It's been crazy. I haven't seen you all week. Usually I see you sooner. But have I seen you this week?
You have. Tuesday.
Oh man!
I came for the Vandy game.
That's right. Yeah, you were doing the Vandy boys, who got a huge win last night.
Yeah, they did.
That Tennessee team. First off, congratulations, Vols fans. You might have some of the best looking jerseys.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. I was like, yeah, they're clean. They're
sheesh.
Clean.
Am I right, yeah. Bobby? Sheesh. I love those damn jerseys. They are really good. And Robbie Weinstein with Rivals Vandy 24/7. We were talking on Twitter last night too, and he showed me the other jerseys that the Vols have. It's their script jerseys, and those are also absolute flames. Your boy is buying one. It's happening. I already did it, actually. I bought it last night. Instantly was like, I gotta get one of these. I've got a Vandy jersey in too recently. Got a gray one. Love it. Might be just a little too small. Your boy thought he was skinnier than he was. It's okay. But it's gonna work, okay? Because I don't wear my jerseys buttoned up. I wear them like
I like to
have like a funny shirt or something underneath.
I like that too.
Yeah, you know, as long as it matches color wise, what do we care?
It's always about the shirt underneath, right?
Yeah, well, I think so. You know, it's the accent pieces. But yeah, the Vandy boys last night showing up after a really disappointing series last week against a much lesser team than the Vols, and you start to wonder, was this a case of, you know, you feel like your crap don't stink at all, and you stop forgetting that there is talent in the SEC at baseball. And Georgia upends them, wins the series, which I feel like it had been a long time since they won or lost a series at home. And then you go and see they come to Knoxville, a good Vols team, and they end up getting the win. Pretty dominant. I mean, two hits. Kumar Rocker goes through seven innings, and they only let up two hits, and I think it was a few errors in there, but whatever. But the Vandy boys were on fire last night. Bobby, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. You know, the weather's great. It's nice and warm outside.
Is it really?
I don't know. I think we're past all the cold weather. So.
It's like 50. I woke up, so I always ask my Alexa. By the way, you can always play Nashville Sports Radio on Alexa. Or, okay, Google. Or what's all that? Google Assistants, all those. I woke up, and I always ask, like, what's the temperature outside? Because I don't want to go feel it unless I don't know. And it was 54 degrees. Like, we're starting to border. Like, I'm cool. Like, I'll wear shorts at that. But, you know, that's where it's like, it could be 54 then, and then it could be like 80 later, or it could be 54 then, and it'll be like 40 later.
Well, the difference is, though, like 54 and sunny and 54 and cloudy are completely different.
True. So. Yeah, no, true. And it's a little cloudy. Hopefully it gets a little warmer.
I see the sun, though. Yeah. I came in this morning, it was all cloudy and it was rainy and nasty, and I'm like,
the
oh.
sun always opens up for Ray.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
That's my happy place.
That's your happy place. So the first story I want to talk about today, we're going to talk about a whole litany of stuff. You can call in 615-844-5600. Use the word litany. Do you like that? Just a little paprika on top. We're going to be talking about, you know, the NFL draft. We're going to be doing a mock draft today, looking at that stuff. We're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff that I put out on Twitter and I've already forgot, but we'll get to it. But the big story that came out last night, I got to pull it up too, because it was, when I was on Twitter last night, I saw it. So this was breaking from at Andy Sheehank Duka.
Perfect.
I don't know how to say his last name. Sheehan. I think it's, oh, I know what it is. Andy Sheehan KDKA. That's what it is. The news. So just put your name. What if you change jobs and you're not at KDKA anymore? What are you going to do? You still going to be Andy Sheehan at KDKA?
Simplify.
You could be at QK2R or whatever, and then they don't know who you are anymore. But anyway, he tweeted last night. So we all remember earlier this week, Rams defensive lineman, forgetting his name
Aaron
now.
Donald?
Aaron Donald. Thank you. Man, right as I went to go. Aaron Donald got into a fist fight and allegedly broke an orbital wall of someone's eye. DeVince Spriggs, that's the guy who got hit. That's the photo everybody saw with the closed eye. He said the attorney for DeVince Spriggs tells KDKA his client mistook his attacker for football star Aaron Donald. The attorney, Todd Hillis, is offering Donald an apology. So it wasn't, but then I saw other reports that were saying that he was there and Aaron Donald was trying to break the fight up.
Did you see the video?
I have not seen the video.
Yeah, I saw
yet.
The video.
So we saw the video. Yeah. So 100% Aaron Donald was not the one.
Yeah, Aaron Donald, there was a, it was like an altercation. Like it was on a street side next to a couple of cars. And there was one guy who was just completely like just knocked out on the floor. And another guy
saw his photo.
Yeah. So, and there's another guy who was just, I guess, going out. And then Aaron Donald comes in and pushes the guy, I guess the other guy that was in the fight, away and walks him away. That's all it shows in the video, but it doesn't show Aaron Donald because he comes later in the video.
But do we watch the other guy get punched by another guy, or is it just?
I didn't see the video of that. I didn't see him like it was just. It was. I think it was after the aftermath. It just showed like Aaron Donald walking away. So,
I think dollar signs have been exchanged, right? Yeah. Like I think somewhere along the line there was some dollar signs that came up and said, you know, oh, this wasn't Aaron Donald. Now once there's the full video out there and I see the full video, obviously then that kind of disputes everything, but or it was dollar signs that like intrigued this guy to try to sue Aaron Donald, right? Like he was like, oh, it was Aaron Donald who punched me because I want to make money. Yep. This guy's got $1 million contract, let me go get some of that money. First off, I feel bad for the guy who got punched, obviously, because I mean dude got rocked. But not only did he get rocked, like it's not enough in like today's society that you get knocked out. It's that everybody on Twitter, once the photos get out, have to meme the hell out of it. Like, did you see the one that had like Homer Simpson's face and it was like Homer Simpson's like mouth like over his eye? Oh,
I saw it. It was so sad.
It was bad.
I don't mean to laugh, but it was just.
I know. It's funny though, but like it's also sad. Like you can't. And then like I want to like share stuff like that, and then I'm like, is that too far? Like this poor guy got knocked out.
Exactly.
Like how far do I want to go with this? I don't want to just berate this poor guy who got knocked out and
keep it inside the house.
Yeah,
show the
you
friends
know, like,
and family.
It's
brother. Like, hey, check this out.
I hate it for him. I hated that it happened for him. But, you know, things happen like that. So we got a question of the day. Ray, you have the official question of the day today. What is our question of the day for social media? If you're on Facebook Live, National Sports Radio, but also you can call in 615-844-5600 and we can answer it that way. But Ray came up, we gave him the honor of coming up with the question of the day. Because I was stuck in traffic for majority of the day coming into the studio because, hey, let's just shut down 65 South today. That's what Nashville decided to do. It was 100% shut down. And you get there, there's no detour signs, there's nothing. It just road closed. That's what you get. And then you got to figure it out. I had to go down to Mumbrian, to 21st Avenue, all the way down to connect on I-440, or I-440, and then it was a nightmare. I just you know, it is what it is. So we didn't have a question of the day prepared today. So whatever it is that Ray's got, what do you got, Ray?
Well, there was two that I had. I'm trying to find the other one that I think it would be.
It's not questions of the day.
Yeah, I know it's not questions of the day, but like it was like last week. It was like you got to nail on the first one, right?
Right, right.
So basically, I'll go to the original one. All right, and I'll find the other one later if we want to. You know, you want to?
Yeah, we can. You know, yeah. We can make a topic, or we can keep filling airtime until you find it. Like whatever.
So this could be for anyone.
Okay.
Could you score a touchdown in an NFL game from the 1 yard line? So we're thinking bunch formation, like you're running behind.
So we're the running back.
You're the running back. I mean,
this isn't Julio
unless you feel
Jones
like you have the speed
wing
to like play on the outside. But I'm thinking like if it's the 1 yard line, 99% of the time you're playing in a bunch formation, going doing I formation, going into the end zone. Right?
Let's ask Pete Carroll. Is that what he did? Because he thought he should throw, and he's an NFL coach. So what do you know about it? But okay. So the idea is, can you score a 1 yard touchdown from the 1 yard line?
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is, right?
In the NFL, not college, not high school. I'm talking about NFL.
In the NFL, that's tough. That's a tough one, Bobby. You think you could?
I do not think I could. I could see you doing it.
The obvious answer for me is like I'd have to run it, right? I have to be like the Derrick Henry. Yeah, like, by the way, I might cough a little bit too. Got an ear infection, got drainage in the throat. It's all good, but you know, you might hear it in the middle of it. But just let everyone know before it happens, because it almost happened. I don't know if Bobby saw my face. I was trying to fight it just then.
There's your public announcement.
I got the halls, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can. The obvious thing is like, okay, I want to run it. Hopefully I have good blocking, you know, but the second those defensive tackles shuck the feet of my offensive linemen and they get low, then I'm going to have to deal with some linebacker. I feel like what I need to do is I'm going to line up at the tight end slot. Like I'm going to be off the edge and I'm going to hopefully draw a man on man and just out route him. I'm not faster, but I got a quick, for me, I'm not fast at all, but I got a quick twitch. You know what I mean? Like I can twitch quick. So my thought is I'm going to fake right, go left, and then quarterback better sling one in. Like that's just, and hopefully I catch it. Like I'm going to have stick 'em, all that kind of stuff on my hand. So in that case, I think I could.
What if you're playing Wildcat? You're the Wildcat quarterback.
Oh, man, that's like, I don't know. Derrick Henry
makes
that
like,
a card,
you know, you
sometimes.
Go, literally, you go right underneath your center, go, and you just let him push. And then what sucks is that you're going to have your running back come right behind you and like – bulldoze that line to go to cross over that goal line.
I don't think that would work for me. I don't think the running scheme would work for me personally. You know that, because this is what you have to know yourself. If you're tall, lanky, you know, maybe you need to be on the outside and they throw you a fade route and you just go up and get it. Because you know, what's an average cornerback, like 5'10"?
About that, yeah.
I'm 6'1". That's probably, they're gonna out jump me for sure. Like it's gonna happen. But I think the way for me is not to run the ball. Are you going to run the ball, Bobby?
I don't know. I feel like if I was like, if I'm the quarterback, I feel like I can make a play happen like that.
Oh,
way.
So you're going to be like the Cam Newton, like stretch it across the goal line.
I love it, Bobby. Do I have to run the ball? Like, can I pass?
You do whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
well, hold on. Now, if we're talking about like FanDuel betting rules, right? If we're talking about like FanDuel, like a score constitutes the ball carrier crossing the goal line. So like, Patrick Mahomes doesn't get a touchdown because he throws a touchdown. He has to run it across. Okay. So what do those rules dictate right now?
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, when you think of 1 yard line, run it. I mean, it just says, can you score?
Yeah. I mean, like,
I'm not saying if you can run or catch. I'm just saying, can you score?
Can you score? So
yeah,
you're
wide open.
You can throw.
You can throw it. Yeah.
Okay. I can be a playmaker.
Okay, then I would change my answer. I want to be quarterback.
Yeah, you want to be the playmaker.
Who's my running back? I want to hand it off to Derrick.
You're playing fantasy now?
Like, yeah. Like,
here's $10. Make your lineup.
Well, this is a good topic too, because you start thinking, how good of a quarterback do you have to be to get Derrick Henry the 1 yard touchdown?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, can we roll out Jamarcus Russell and he hand it off to exactly. Derrick Henry and we're like, wow, Jamarcus Russell looks great.
Just don't drop the snap. And you're good.
Yeah, that's just all it is. That's just all it is. Like, so what's the bridge on that? Like, how do we say what's the limit? Because what's the offensive line situation? Are we talking like the Tennessee Titans like a couple years ago offensive line, or are we talking like
the Cincinnati,
the Jets? The Jets. Like, are we Texans. In the current? The current man, he got me. Current Jets lineup, like, because their line is terrible. Which one are we talking about here? I don't know. That makes it a little difficult. It makes it a little difficult.
So does that change your fact that you're still running or passing?
Oh, 100%. Because if I'm going to be the quarterback, well, if you're running, I need at least 3 seconds.
Well, hold on. If you're running the ball and you have such a putrid offensive line, are you still going to take that chance to run it in?
No. I'm going to throw, but I'm going to come out shotgun five wide. I'm spreading out empty tray. All right? I'm going to have three on the right, two on the left.
He's got four rushes coming after him. He's got horrible offensive line.
I'm going
He's
Madden.
Running for his life.
I'm going for Madden here. I'm running two-step cross routes. That's what everybody's running. So somebody is going to run into a defender somewhere.
Who's your receivers by this point? Do you have like a 6'5", like I think DK Metcalf? You're like, hey, I'm going up.
See, that's easy. I feel like who's the most middling wide receiver you can think of that's not bad? Willie Snead. That's who you have. You know what I mean? Like, he's not bad. Like, you wouldn't say he's a bad wide receiver, but he's not good or great, right? He's very much like, some games he'll show up for 120, and then some games he won't even show up. So Willie Snead's your wide receiver. So you gotta have something to him. It can't just be...
And you're throwing that low, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be, you know, if once again, I'm going 5-wide empty tray here. So I'm going to try to
crossing routes.
I'm looking. Is there a do I get the good matchup? I'm checking the matchups. I'm seeing, okay, they're probably going
to. Do you have enough time to check the matchups with such a horrible line?
I got the play clock. I'm going 24 seconds. I'm out here checking down. So I'm Peyton Manning. Omaha. Oh, so you know what I mean? Like I'm over here like Marvin Harrison tapping the helmet so he knows we're going to a drag.
Okay. So he's checking out.
YXZY banana spider. Yeah. You know, like that's what we're doing.
The ball's hiked and they change defensive formation. Zach's like, what?
Yeah, they all just adjust. And I'm like, I just try running it. I get tackled at the five.
That might work. Yeah, you spread everyone out wide. And next thing you know, you got a wide open lane. Wide open lane. And you're like, that can play any perfectly than that.
Or you know what I would do? This is the thing. I'm not the mobile quarterback. Like, going back to Peyton Manning, I'm not the mobile quarterback. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take his Broncos days, and we're going to line up I formation, heavy front, power right. Like, that's what we're going to do. And then I'm going to fake a handoff, and I'm just going to sneak it over to the left.
You know what I see Zach doing? I see literally him doing a 5-wide. Hikes the ball, does a three step drop back, and then starts right into the end zone.
Probably not gonna work, man.
It's gonna be 1, 2, 3. I'm going right in.
I got a quick twitch. It's not a quick step. I got a quick
you're not doing a five or seven step. You're doing a three step.
Once I'm past that twitch, man, it's slow. All right, like I need you to understand, this is slow.
Think about it like this, okay? Like it's fourth quarter, right? And you'd be like, you know, they put Patrick Mahomes on the bench and they bring in Zach. And they're like,
hey, this kind of happened though, right?
They're like, this guy's not gonna run the ball, you know? Like, and then next thing you know, he runs to the end zone.
Who was who's the backup quarterback that came in during the was it a playoff game?
Yeah,
it was a playoff game for the Chiefs. Was it Chase Daniels? No, I don't know.
Was it Moore?
Yeah, no. Mike Moore was last year that they had. I can't remember the quarterback, but remember that's what they did. Is they lined up in the set? They looked like they were going to run the ball because they were like, he's not going to throw it.
Chad Henne.
Yep, Hennessy. Yeah, that's right.
Bobby beat me to it.
Yep. That's good. That's what we do. But yeah, Chad Henne, and then Andy Reid has him throw the ball to Tyreek Hill on the right side. You remember that? Like that's kind of the Chiefs done it. So you know. Andy Reid has my number.
So Andy Reid has to be his coach in order for this all to happen.
Oh, you got to have... Now we're talking about coaching. You got to have a Steel Huevos kind of coach to make this happen, all right? Like
triple cheeseburger kind of coach.
Yeah, like Mike Vrabel. You know what I mean? He'll just say, you know what? It sounds stupid.
So is Bill Belichick doing it? Is he doing it or not doing it?
No.
No, he's definitely not doing it.
That guy is all, what is the best analytic play?
if it doesn't work, it was the offensive coordinator's idea.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's go to the phone line, 615-844-5600. We got two lines open right now if you want to jump in. Any question that you have, any concerns, anything you want to talk about. Do you think you can score from a 1 yard out? Let's ask Jeff in the Borough. Jeff, do you think you can score from a 1 yard out in the touchdown? Like, can you score a touchdown?
Since he
taught
his defense.
Hey, that's true. We didn't talk about that. Yeah, the defense.
Hey, I can score 50 yards out since he taught his defense down there. I can do that.
Let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy with it. Let's keep this halfway believable.
They find a defensive coordinator. You know, Amy Adams Strunk would be glad to see you. If you can find her defensive coordinator, the head coach.
You know, this is the thing. Just because you brought that up, you have Like, what do you think's going to work there with Shane Bowen's? He's the defensive coordinator now, right? Officially, you got Mike Vrabel, yeah, who clearly loves the job and wants to keep the hand of God over all of it.
He wants to tell us who's not the defensive coordinator. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and then you got Jim Schwartz coming in now too. That is going to be a, what was the official title? A defensive senior analyst or assistant? That's what,
yeah,
it was.
Defensive.
So, do you think that's too many cooks in the kitchen?
I mean, I guess. I don't really know. I know that one day, Tom Madden, they said that, Braver, that one day, that press conference, that Essence guy was writing, or something sound like he said that he visited all the coaches on the staff or something. I don't know what was going on at that press conference or something. He went on and on about Braver listening to him or something. He was going on. He wrote a column about it. Was just going on and on about how he wouldn't say who it was or something or another. He wouldn't even admit who it was, or somebody asked him a question about it or something. Either he wouldn't answer it or whatever. I don't, whatever it was, something. I don't know. I'm not sure the whole gist of it, but I know why the media got mad at him, because he kind of hemmed and hawed around and wouldn't really ask the question, you know. He wouldn't really answer and tell him what was going on. And so a lot of them got mad at him, and of course didn't really, and of course they said he didn't have the right to do it. I guess he hadn't won enough, like, you know, I guess their example was, you know, and Belichick do whatever the hell he wants, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Of course, Vrabel can't do it, you know. He ain't won. And then one guy said on Channel 5 or one of them stations said he's got the cachet. He could do it. So, now I really don't know. That's just what they said. So, I really don't know. But I did want to let you know a couple of high school things.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the defending 6A champions released their, well, it probably already done, that article. And then the paper here, breached their schedule. You see it?
That's Oakland, correct?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen their schedule. I know Hendersonville plays them though, which is stupid. Yeah, why do they want to do that? Go ahead and start off with a loss.
That's the first game. Well, they're playing. They've got 9 games. And Creasy said that he said he's okay with that. Of course, he had a hard time with scheduling, but they've only got 6 teams in their region this year. There's 3 of them. Is not going to be in. I guess they went moved up faster now, whatever it is. But they're only playing 5 region games, so he's got to play 4. He had 4, you know, 9 region. Mm-hmm. Like Ben Hinchinbrough is one of them. He's going to play CPA too now. See if they're playing CPA next year. And the other two,
that might be good actually.
And the other two teams are out of state. He's playing a team from Mississippi. He's going to play them on Saturday night.
Hey, remind me, is CPA a Division II school? See, I wish that JP2 got more play inside of those kind of matchups, because I feel like the private schools, I mean, JP2 is always kind of near the bottom. Even last year they had their kind of their surge to the top, but those private schools are so hard. Those Division II schools are so hard to beat that JP2 is always at the bottom, and people think they're a bad team. But Justin Geisinger's, they've got a really strong team up there in Hendersonville. I wish they would get more play.
Beat Riverdale last year.
They're tough, man. You can't, like, the athletic programs they have.
They played at Riverdale last year and beat them, so.
Yeah.
Last year.
And Riverdale wasn't a pushover.
Yeah, what I was going to say is they're going to play CPA, but the other two, they're playing a team out of Mississippi. They're going down there. They're going to play on Saturday night, going down there. And there's a team from Florida that's coming up here. And what I understand, I was out there one of the spring sports this spring, and what this guy told me, he said that this team from Florida was going to fly in the day of the game, and then of course play, and then fly out the after the game. And the Florida thing now, this Florida team they're playing, it's a 2-year contract. So Oakland's got to go down there next year, down to Florida in 2022 now, play them.
Mm. Hey, let me ask you, just to focus on Oakland for a second, because how long do you think Creasy's going to stay there? Do you think he stays forever, or does he ever try to move up?
There's a guy I know that's a big Oakland fan and everything, and he just told me one time, as long as Creasy is at Oakland, he says they're going to be good.
Yeah. No, I agree, but...
How long he stays, I have no idea.
Well, that's what I wonder, is that you start thinking, okay, he's a proven winner at the high school level. There's got to be a college out there that wants to give him a shot.
But I can tell you, quick, when Gary Rank was at Riverdale the first couple years, I interviewed him a lot. And I asked him one day, I said, this is when he first started Riverdale, like 2 or 3 years in. He was winning pretty big. And I said, have you ever thought about going to college? He said, no. And then they asked him later on, after he left Beaverdale, about it. He said no. He said, I never even thought about college. He said, I'm a high school coach, Eric. But what I was going to say real quick, they're playing the team out of Mississippi is a state champion down there, their classification. And that Florida team they're playing, and they were supposed to play a team out of Ohio, and then that got nicked for some reason. They couldn't come to no agreement. So they've got nine games next year they're going to play. It's a nine-game schedule. Right now, unless they can find a 10th game. But a guy told me after it opened one night, said, nobody in Tennessee will play them. That's what they say.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't blame them.
Nobody stays going to play them.
They're one of the toughest teams in Tennessee. Like, and that's why I wish they would play. Like, if they would try to play like a Brentwood Academy or, you know, someone along those lines in the Division II, I think they would get a whole lot more attention on it. And face it, they probably don't want to play those teams.
Yeah, well, see, he tried to call. One time he was on the radio down here. He said he tried to call every school over at Williamson County, and they didn't want nothing to do with him.
Yeah, well, any of the public schools, I don't blame any of the public schools for not wanting to,
and everything like that. But no, I know you guys are going to talk about the NFL draft. I guess y'all watched the Vandy UT baseball game last night.
Yeah, man, what about those Vandy boys? Kumar Rocker looked really good.
Yeah, they looked pretty good. He didn't get rocked like he did last week, though. So
I wonder if that's a case of they looked forward towards the Tennessee game too much and kind of forgot about Georgia.
I don't know. It's possible. I mean, I was going to say, dude, what'd you think about the Wade twins yesterday? BB inbound, baby. What'd you think about that?
Yeah. Do you like that?
Of course.
Yeah. Well,
anytime we can get players out of Tennessee, come up here. Like we got Ryan Howard out of Cleveland. They're playing women's basketball. But no, it's a big get. They've got a kid today. Goodwin's supposed to decide between Michigan State, Ohio State, and Alabama, and Clemson. And Kentucky's an offensive line, about 300 pounds and everything. But Oakland released their schedule. Like I said, they only got six teams in their region. But what I was going to ask you is, does Hendersonville have less teams in their region this year?
No, they changed their region. It's the same number of teams they had last year, it makes a whole lot more sense because now Gallatin and Beach are all in the same region as them, which they should have been for a while. It's been a while since Hendersonville went to 6A. So, you know, Gallatin's team is probably going to be, they're going to be the odd man out for a little while, I think, because whenever they played a lot of teams in 5A last year and they couldn't compete at all, and Hendersonville just destroyed them. So I think they're gonna be a team that's gonna have some real problems going forward. But yeah, I think Rossview's in it still. That's one that stayed the same, and I can't remember off the top of my head all the teams that switched over. But I know Gallatin and Beach did.
I'm saying though, did they have to have less like as far as their non-region? Did they have to have less non-region games to play, like in toward the badge, you know, less?
I think it's the same. I think everything's the same, and that's why you look at Oakland. They're staying Oakland as the starting game because that's their non-region now. That's one of their non-region. And it's confusing to me. That's why they want their non-region game. But, it is what it is.
Well, see, the thing about it is, too, is see that down here they had to have more of them, more non-region because there's less teams. But I was going to ask y'all, too, do you think by the fall, like I know tonight the soccer team, I seen that, the Nissan thing.
Yeah, they start tonight.
It's like a 40% capacity on the stadium over there. Of course, you know they announced last week too that Nissan Stadium went cashless. Y'all know that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess y'all better get y'all's debit card. See if y'all got enough money in y'all's debit card. See if y'all can buy one of them $10 Cokes and about $8 hot dogs. See if y'all can get y'all.
It's all going so digital because Bridgestone did that a couple years ago where they stopped doing printed tickets. They had it's all electronic tickets. So
yeah. I know down here, I don't know about Hendersonville, but I know down here, except the spring sports now, down in football and basketball season, they had everything was online, the ticketing.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of where everything's going now because, you know, you start talking about that's extra cost for the teams that have to print tickets and things like that. I know some teams, though, want to hold on to the tradition of, you know, they have, like, art on the tickets or they have, like, past memory photos or something on the ticket, so it's kind of like a keepsake, but...
Yeah.
Well, I think some teams don't do that, though. Hendersonville doesn't do that.
some of them still want to take cash at the door. I know people. Some of them don't. I know some of the other sports like soccer, and I know all the spring sports down here do. But I, basketball. Of course, I don't know about the attendance, but where they're fed, because, like I said, everything was limited. But do you think by the fall that it's going to be more like with football, or really college football again, high school? Do you think it's going to be more the capacity as far as fans and things?
Yeah, I do. I'll get you out. I'll let you hear this one off air,
right,
Jeff.
I appreciate it.
All right, see you, buddy. I think by the fall, it's going to have to turn that way. It's kind of already transitioning. And look, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going on with all that. But you see where we're at right now, where Nashville's let it up to 33% of occupancy for, like, Bridgestone and all that. Vandy, for some reason, I think that's one thing. If you're a Vandy fan, I feel bad, especially for Vandy baseball, because Vandy is not allowing people in, like, inside Hawkins. I mean, they are. You have to be in a lottery, but it's really hard to get in there. And I've seen people that have said, I can get into the other team. Like, I go, they're traveling to Knoxville, or they're traveling to wherever, LSU, and it's easier to get into those stadiums other than the home stadium. And they have a lot of problems with that. I don't blame you. If you're a season ticket holder and you're not getting the lottery pool because it's a lottery, who knows how they're running the lottery. But I think it's crazy that they're not going by what the city's mandating is. It's classic Vanderbilt. Really, really depressing their fan base. But, you know, I do think by the fall, you just see how everything's kind of starting to open up, and everything is just, what the timeline's happening. So unless something tragic happens, and we hope it doesn't, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think so too. It's too open right now to say that it's going to not be open later.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and go to our first break. When we come back from the break, we'll get into the Titans draft, looking at mock draft, see what we can do with that. Before we go on that break, you know, we got to talk about our friends over at Slim Chickens. Look, right now, you want some good food on the weekend, you need to go check out my friends over at Slim Chickens. Download the Slim Chickens app so that way you can skip the line, you can order virtually, and they'll bring it right out to your car. It's a whole lot easier, I promise. They have locations Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, Hendersonville. If you haven't tried Slim Chickens, I'm telling you, try these new Chicken Select sandwiches they have. These things are amazing. Ciabatta bun, the sauces on them, the cayenne ranch is amazing. My favorite, I like the cayenne ranch, I talked about that already, but I'll tell you, my favorite now is the buffalo ranch one. That one is a much, I don't know what it is, I really like it though, man. I'm bouncing around on these sandwiches whenever I go over there. But this is how you step up your chicken sandwich game. You know, a chicken sandwich is great. I think anywhere you go, it's hard to screw up a chicken sandwich. I remember even like when I was in like high school, the chicken sandwiches that they would serve like in the cafeteria were good. Like, I enjoyed those. But if you want to step up your chicken sandwich game, try Slim Chicken sauces. Get some of that mango habanero. Get some of that Korean barbecue. Whatever it is, get that. Put it on top of the sandwich, under the bun. Don't be an idiot. But it's going to be delicious, I promise. You're going to love it. Again, locations Mount Juliet, Murfreesboro, and Hendersonville. Download the Slim Chickens app so that way you can skip the line. You can order it. It's a whole lot easier, I promise. Go check them out. Slim Chickens, wings, tenders, and more. You're going to love it. Back after this right here on MSM.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction. Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
Catch one of Music City's longest-running radio shows devoted solely to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Every game day morning at 5, Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier and the Renegades of Puck, Nashville Sports Radio, and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
That's the number you got to call in if you want to get in. Talking Titans now. Let's get this. Let's get the Titans talk over with because I got to do it once a show. It just has to happen. There's really not that much news that's come out of the Titans so far, which kind of sucks. They still have holes, but I guess they're going to do the draft and then they're going to evaluate after. Which we talked a little bit last week about the. What the needs were from the draft, what needed to happen, where their holes are, which I mean,
so many.
It's across the board. We're going to do mock draft actually next week. I said we're going to do that this week, but we're going to have Bruno back next week and we'll do it before the draft. More timely, much more timely. But with the Titans, obviously the big news that happened this week is that Jadeveon Clowney signed with the Browns. And there's been a lot of, what's the key word here? Resentment from the Titans fan base on their side of the fact that Jadeveon Clowney. Now, there was a tweet that went out, and I know there's a video. I haven't seen the video fully, but the guy who's a reporter up in Cleveland put out the tweet and then deleted the quote. It was a quote by Jadeveon Clowney saying, I'm paraphrasing, but the team that I'm joining now had more wins than the team that I had last year. Or I was with last year. So he was saying basically the Browns had more wins last year and the Titans had less wins. And a lot of Titans fans got upset by that. Now, the guy deleted the tweet. I have not seen the video if he said that exactly. So if somebody saw that video, and you can make sure, I'm not fact-checking myself at all on this, leave it in the comments or call in at 615-844-5600. First off, there's going to be a little bit of that, right? Like, new player joining a team. He wants to get the fan base on his side. He wants to get the fan base on his side. So you got to expect him to be playing to the Cleveland crowd. Now, it's another one-year deal for Jadeveon Clowney. It's going to be, he's going to have Myles Garrett on his left, which I'm going to talk about here in a second. It's a 4-3 defense, which is, I think, a better set for two good edge rushers because, you know, start running that 3-4, you're looking more in the linebacker spot, which Jadeveon Clowney, that was his first spot in the NFL, was at a linebacker. I think that Titans fans just need to accept the fact that he's gone. I know a lot of people are upset by it, but you know, it's just business. Like, it was 1 year. And this is what we've talked about before. When the Titans sign all these 1 year deals, you start saying, you know, you're not giving equity. That's why I look at Josh Reynolds, who's got a 1 year deal right now. And everybody, that's the wide receiver that's replacing Corey Davis, that's replacing Jonnu Smith, that's replacing all these different targets that were lost. And we're not even, I say we. The Titans are not even investing heavily into them. Now, because they're forced that way, because they're capped, because of what they've done in the past, that's, you know, again, that's their fault. But when they're doing this and their guys are leaving year in and year out, that's not good. Like, you got to build some chemistry. That's why I was so hyped for the Bud Dupree play. When they got Bud Dupree, it was like 5 years, $85 million. Great. This guy is going to be invested in Nashville. And players are better when they're investing in Nashville. Look at Logan Ryan. When he was here, with everything that he did with his pet adoptions and everything in the community. And then also, he was great on the field. And they get rid of him. Well, they let him walk, more to say. They didn't get rid of him, but they let him walk, which was stupid. Congratulations, Giants. You also got Adoree Jackson now, and you're about to get Jason McCourty. The entire Titans secondary from the last, like, 5 years is going to be over in New York, and they're all going to have a great year next year. Watch it. It's going to be absolutely disgusting. But, for the Jadeveon Clowney stuff, I talked about how I thought this team would be better with him and Bud Dupree both on the field. I'm gonna kind of go back on that a little bit, and the reason why, because a lot of people have talked about Jadeveon Clowney and Miles Garrett being this new unstoppable force, and Jadeveon Clowney stats wise are gonna bounce up because he's gonna have Miles Garrett on the other side getting the double teams. Jadeveon Clowney for a number of years always gets the double teams and all these different things. I'm calling foul on that. I'm gonna call foul on that because the years when he was in Houston, he had J.J. Watt on the other side, who was arguably the best pass rusher for this past generation, like this past 10 years. But now, all of a sudden, he's with Miles Garrett, who's very good. Don't get me wrong. Probably right now, currently the best in the league. Was Jadeveon Clowney that much better stat-wise? Let's just say stat-wise, because we can talk about game impact. We can talk about how he performed, all that different stuff, how teams schemed on him, game-planned him. I get that. That does come into effect. When a team is planning to try to shut you down, they're more likely going to shut you down. There's not many guys out there that don't get shut down.
Did not break double-digit sacks.
No, he got nine sacks 1 year. Then it was five, then it was four, and it's been kind of a trend all the way down. And I know people out there saying, oh, he's got to get more sacks. He's got to get more sacks. That's the defining characteristic. It's not. That's stupid. I watched a video. I'm not even going to say where. I'm not going to say who. It was so stupid. You could smell it through the phone when I was looking at it. That it was just this thought of, I can't believe he didn't get a lot of sacks. He played bad. Look at some of the teams that had success against him. Like, bringing up, like, Dalvin Cook and bringing up James Robinson. Like, oh, look how great they played against Jadeveon Clowney and the Titans defense. Yo, first off, Dalvin Cook, number two running back last year. Mm-hmm. Who was number three, Ray?
James Robinson.
And number one was Derrick Henry. So, we're going to talk about the top three guys who made Jadeveon Clowney look terrible. Well, great. They did it every single week. They did it every single week to tons of teams. Tons of teams.
I don't mention the sacks, but the whole, like, oh, you know, you need to have a certain number of sacks to be validated of, like, being a good edge rusher. I'm talking about, like, you had J.J. Watt with you on that same line that provided you opportunities to have that single matchup.
Yeah.
Like, whether if he was, J.J. was lined up on the left-hand side of the line or right-hand side, you basically bunch him up with Clowney on the outside. So there's opportunities for him to be able to have that single one-on-one opportunity, and I just thought that the comment he made literally threw J.J. Watt under the bus. Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, he just died. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's weird that he's, you know, playing this all up. Like, it's finally great. I have somebody on the side. It's like, you had J.J. Watt there. And by the way, yeah, J.J. Watt in J.J. Watt's prime. Like, now, he was still getting injured. You could say there was times where J.J. Watt wasn't there because he was out for the year or whatever. But for the most part, that was a tough defense. That was a really tough. That Texans front was probably one of the toughest in the game at that time. Mm-hmm. And maybe he gets that back. I'm not taking anything away from Jadeveon Clowney. I think he's a great player. There's a lot of people that will say he's not, and I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly. Is he talentless? Absolutely not. Is he not driven? I think he's not driven.
I don't think he's committed. When I mean committed
driven, like, I think he's in the same boat, yeah.
Because if you look at his contracts, he's 1 year, whatever, one-offs.
Yeah.
It seems like very NBA-esque.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's just looking for the ring.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'll just bounce around. As opposed to, like you just mentioned earlier about Bud Dupree. 5 years, 80 plus million. I'm committed. I'm hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, I want to grow with the team. I want to win something with the team.
Yeah. And, you know? And that just goes to, because usually in the NFL, a player is signing these 1 year deals because they're trying, it's a prove itself contract. You always hear that every year. Like, right. He's in a prove it year. You know, Corey Davis last year was in a prove it year. Mm-hmm. Well, Jadeveon Clowney's not proving it in the sense of not really showing up, not really putting in the effort. Now, we could talk about last year being the COVID year. We could talk about last year how he signed mid-training camp. You know, did the Titans really get Jadeveon Clowney? Did they get the best of Jadeveon Clowney? No, they didn't. And that's why when he was injured, he was like, I'm just going to go ahead and get the full-on surgery, and my season's done, whatever it is. Collect my check. Do I blame him? No. Because he knew he was going to be gone next year. He knew a team was going to pay for him next year. He knew all these different things. So he was, you know, he was already 1 foot out the door, it seemed like.
So the contract was what, $7.5 million guaranteed? Yeah. But it's up to $10 million in terms of incentives, right?
Oh, the one currently? Yeah, currently it's up to $10 million. So it's, yeah, $7.5 million guaranteed, 46-man roster bonus for $1 million,
yeah.
Which I don't know how that works. You know, all that stuff, that's crazy stuff to me. It's basically saying he's got to be on the, he's got to have play time in there too, where right. he's on the field for so 80% many
times. Time. And,
yeah, there's all kinds of little incentives in there, which... It was going to have to be that way. Like, anyone who signed him, whether it was the Titans or not, it was going to be very incentive-based because you have to with him. Because he will disappear like he did on the Titans. So, do I think he's going to make much of an impact in Cleveland? Yeah, I think he will. If he's playing, if he's on that field playing, I think he's going to make an impact. I just think that if we see a Jadeveon Clowney that's driven, if we see a Jadeveon Clowney that is playing at his best, he can be a top player in the NFL, 100%. There's not a lot of guys. This is the other side of this. When I hear people that are not NFL analysts, and when I say NFL analysts, I'm not talking about the people that you hear on the radio or see on TV. I'm talking about the people that work for these teams that are analysts, that get paid millions of dollars to judge a player's ability. That's the people I'm talking about. And now we've seen four different teams give Jadeveon Clowney big money to be on their team. When those people are saying it's worth the $10 million for 1 year to try to get him on, whether it's the Titans, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Seahawks, whatever. When those people are the ones saying that they think he's worth it, then the other voices that are out there, my voice, anyone else, any other gas bag that's on the mic out there, then that voice doesn't matter anymore. Because they were talking about public perception of him. The public perception of Jadeveon Clowney is worse. The business perception of him is very good. Because you have teams shelling out $10 million to bring him on for 1 year. You don't do that if you're a bad player. Bad players, journeyman players, don't go sign huge contracts year after year after, quote-unquote, underperforming. There's a reason why teams are signing. There's a reason why Jadeveon Clowney is getting signed. He is a good player. He is a good player, and he's just, something doesn't look great with the naked eye. That's just what it is. Something just doesn't look great. Something is not clicking, and I think it's his drive. I think he's not, like you said, he's not committed. I think he has this weird drive that's just not something. It's just
something's off.
Yeah, and some team's going to figure it out.
I want to go back onto what you said about he's chasing the ring.
Yeah.
If he can put it together, if you think about this Cleveland Browns team who's getting Odell Beckham Jr. back healthy, they are legitimate, a Super Bowl contender team.
Oh, man. I don't know about that.
Hear me out. Answer me this. Are they the biggest threat to Kansas City right now? Because Kansas City right now currently has no booking tackles. Zero. They let both of them go. And now you've got the Cleveland Browns who basically put them to the test. Granted, they knocked down Mahomes in the third quarter last year in the playoffs. Should have won that game. But they
should
were
they pretty, have?
Yeah, I mean,
they got beat by, we just talked about, Chad Henne.
I know, which is crazy. But, like, they should have, if you look, just, I know we obviously don't look at paper, but on paper, you have to look at this team, like, a very balanced squad. Going to this draft, they could draft for luxury this year. They have very little needs. Right. Maybe a linebacker, maybe get a, you know, safety, but wide receivers, tight end. We don't need, you know, you've got the best.
Well, let me go back just a little bit to what you said. Is OBJ a number one wide receiver in the NFL?
No, he's not.
Do you think that makes a team Super Bowl worthy because of OBJ? Because we can pull up stats.
The talent is there. But I just don't see it right now because of the fact that he just...
Is the talent there?
It is there. He just gets in his own way every time.
That team is... I think you can make the argument for the Cleveland Browns that team is better when OBJ is not on the field. Like, it's almost that Baker Mayfield feels like he has to throw to OBJ whenever he's on the field. And he's just launching these stupid passes towards him. But when OBJ's not there, all of a sudden you see Baker Mayfield having a better season. You see him widening his reach. He's throwing to more players. Like, look at when they played the Titans. He was throwing to everybody in that first half. Yeah. I mean, everybody. I think it was like five guys had a touchdown by the first half. So, I don't think that OBJ is a... I think he's actually a lesser wide receiver. I think he's made his money off one play. I look at OBJ like I look at Malcolm Butler. One play secured him. One play has secured his money. He's not that good of a wide receiver. Now, is he bad? No, he's in the NFL. But he's not a guaranteed threat. He's just more, I think he's more of a hindrance because people think, I've got to throw to OBJ. I think Baker Mayfield thinks, I've got to throw to OBJ. I think they're, you know, who's their coach? I'm forgetting his name.
Jeff Stefanski?
Stefanski, thank you. I think he thinks, I got a game plan to get OBJ the ball because it's OBJ and we're all tuned to OBJ and we've seen the one-handed catch.
Don't you think OBJ knows that the team is now, we saw what the Browns are. They're a run-first team.
Very much so.
You know, so I think
they probably have one of the best. I think they have the best backfield.
Yeah.
In the NFL,
and I think that OBJ, going in his eighth season now. I don't know what it is now at this point after the countless injuries and all that stuff. I think that him and Kevin Stefanski, the coach, have actually had conversations. Like shows the team, and I think that was he always like Baker's always looking for him first? Yeah, it was the same problems he had when he was in the Giants with Eli Manning. Always passed me first, and if he didn't, it was all these sideline shenanigans and stuff like that. Yeah.
He's definitely a distraction. Yeah. Ted on Facebook, I think he's yelling at you here. He says, they're not even in the same class as Kansas City, and they didn't come close to knocking them off. They did come close because there was a real threat there, right? Like, I mean, it's just when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes being off the field and you're talking about Chad Henne being in, there's a clear delineation there. There's a clear – even though Chad Henne came out, he had a couple good balls, and he threw that one ball that was like – nowhere near. It was like he was thrown to the second level of the stands, and then it ends up being an interception. They knock Mahomes out because of a horse collar, so don't even talk that crap. You're not even in the same ballpark. Look, do I think that they're bad? No. But do I think that they're a defining team? No, I don't think the Browns are there yet. I think they're getting there. They're working their way. They're just in a really tough division. Man, first hour flew by, huh?
It did, yeah.
Absolutely flew by. All right, well, that's going to do it for the first hour. We got a whole second hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. Be right back after this right here on MSM.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
No time to drive through? Get Slim's delivered. Our hand-breaded tenders, perfectly fried wings, southern sides, and even sweet treats. All delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim Chickens app and select delivery. Whether you're driving through, pulling up for curbside service, or now getting it delivered, Slim's has you covered. Download the Slim Chickens app and order online.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Martin Truex Jr. becomes 2021's first multi-winner at Martinsville this past weekend. Up next, more short track action from Richmond Raceway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hey, I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And check us out on YouTube. Search for Final Lap Radio every single weekday right here.
WPDQ
Franksboro.
On air and online, sports radio, WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Yuni Han. Bagpipes, sounding the farewells to the Duke of Edinburgh. Prince Philip's funeral service held this morning in St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle, before the prince was laid to rest in the royal vault. ABC's James Longman with more on the prince's legacy.
People really still look back on the work that he achieved across the Commonwealth, visiting over 229 countries, really focusing on that role. But also, many young people across the country today are also remembering his life. The impact he's had on that youth community through the Duke of Edinburgh Awards has been something that has really struck a chord with many.
And the global death toll from COVID-19 topping 3 million people, according to Johns Hopkins University. But experts believe the actual number is probably higher. And the mass shooting at the FedEx facility in Indianapolis on Thursday, which killed 8, the latest in a grisly string of gun violence. It's the third mass shooting for Indianapolis this year alone. This is ABC News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Now that 2020 is behind us, let's make 2021 the most relaxing year. Mokara Salon and Spa is located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with the ultimate spa experience. Make time for a soothing facial, massage, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Your treatment begins in the exquisite relaxation room. And whether you're enjoying a signature body treatment or just visiting the salon, you are sure to enjoy every minute of Mokara Salon and Spa. Open Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600. Mokara Salon and Spa, relaxing you in 2021. Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue downtown.
Push the button. You have no idea what...
broadcasting live high atop the Nashville Sports Radio Broadcasting Complex. Welcome back to the Millennial Sports Morning.
Millennials, who are they? What do they want?
With your host, Zach Williams. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream.
Humans are disgusting.
Millennial Sports Mornings is brought to you by Slim Chickens, with locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
615-844-5600. Lines wide open for you right now if you want to jump in. Or you can go on Nashville Sports Radio on Facebook and Twitter. You'll be able to see the video stream. You can comment it there. We have a question of the day, which is, do you think you can score a touchdown from the 1 yard line? I think we're kind of, were we all yes? Did everybody say yes? Did you answer that right? I don't think you answered that.
Well, it went yes at first, and then we were like, then we went into like more.
We got
less,
a lot
like,
of variables.
Variables. There's a lot of line, variables. Who's calling the play? Who's your coach? Who are my wide receivers?
So
I think I can do it.
You think you can do it, yeah. Bobby?
Yeah.
I can do it.
I'm going to say no. I don't think I can. I don't think I can. I don't think Bobby can, and I don't think you can.
Oh, I can.
I don't think any of you can.
Like I said, it depends on like if you're being the playmaker or if you strictly are just giving the ball and like, here, go score.
Yeah.
I can run out to the flat and just kind of just, someone just does like a 2 yard curl. I throw it low, I'm done.
If you're telling me I have to just do like a.
You got to be able to throw it low, though.
I can throw it low. I can throw a football.
I've never seen you throw a football. So I don't know. I don't have instinct here.
We'll go in the parking lot and do it one
day. Okay, good. All right. I got a ball in the back.
I feel like I need to give Zach needs validity here.
I need a little bit, right? Later on today, we got Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee. They'll be in Knoxville. You'll be able to hear Kevin Ingram on the call starting at 2:45 here locally. And then we got Memphis versus the Bucks at 7:30. So a whole sports lineup for you at 7:30. You'll be able to hear Eric Castletine and that group on the call. And you can watch it on Bally Sports as well. Have you seen that? Fox Sports is now Bally Sports. I didn't know what Bally was. And it's a
was that just recently they rebranded?
Yeah, they rebranded all of it. They I don't know if they bought it or they sold it or they're just rebranding whatever they're doing, but it's Bally Sports now. It's messed me up because I'll be looking for a channel and then I'm looking for Fox Sports South or whatever, Fox Sports South Tennessee or something like that. And now it's all Bally Sports, Bally Sports, Bally Sports. So let's get into current events, Ray. Let's get into current events.
Do you want to do current events or you want to do the Jake Paul fight?
Ooh, which should we do first? Let's do the Jake Paul fight because I keep forgetting that's happening.
Yeah. Because I know you tweeted it out. You wanted to talk about it.
Yes.
I mean, that's big. There's been a lot of rumblings.
So it's tonight.
Yeah.
It's happening on Triller. First off, is anyone in here buying it?
No.
No?
No.
I am like, so me and the missus are going to Dalton, Georgia. Like, we're going to be on the road today. And then we're going to get there, you know, whatever time. I don't know what time the fight starts. Card probably starts like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I don't know if I'm going to buy it or not. Because, look, it's boxing. All the undercard stuff is boxing. Do I care about boxing? No. Do I watch boxing anyway? Not really. Unless it's your heavyweight, Furies, Wilder, Joshua, all of them. Boxing kind of sucks. Caleb Plant, maybe. I'll watch a little Caleb Plant just for the local connection. But for the most part, boxing has made a terrible name for itself. So now we're all the celebrity boxing stuff. It's, you know, I don't blame people.
Frank Mir's on one on the undercard.
Frank Mir?
Mir, sorry.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Who's he fighting? Is it another boxer?
So he's fighting former cruiserweight world champion Steve Cunningham.
Oh, well, everybody knows who Steve Cunningham is. Former world champion.
Yeah.
Former world champion.
Apparently, I've got like their purses. He's supposed to earn $150,000.
Oh, that's good.
Frank Mir is supposed to get $350,000.
Wow.
So we've got another UFC fighter in there.
Wow.
That's why I was looking at the program.
That's weird. I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah. I was looking at the undercards. I'm like, whoa, this is actually a pretty good undercard for this, you know, for the Askin Paul fight.
Who do you think's going to win?
You know what I want? Wonderboy has said it in one of his tweets. Where, like, I see Askren getting, like, a nice right hand, gets mad, and just does, like, a takedown and starts beating him up. I would love
nobody
that
would be from, upset if, I would, if he I would takes him down that. And chokes him out.
But honestly, I think Askren wins. But I don't think that, because he just looks super calm, super cool.
Did you watch the open workouts?
I haven't seen any of the
workouts. You haven't seen any of the workouts?
Of who? Okay. Of who's?
Both.
I've heard rumors that Paul got knocked out in sparring a couple times.
Well, yeah, there's
and
always
he apparently
rumors.
Came out a report that he's basically showing symptoms of CTE.
So,
and I was like,
Askren put out, we'll talk about that. Yeah. That's so stupid. Yeah. Because for a million reasons. Askren had been putting out some videos where he didn't look all that great. Like his punching, you're like, oh, he's a wrestler, so why would he look great punching? Right. Well, his open workout, snappy. Like he was throwing some good shots. And you're like, okay, hold on, he's quick. And it's like not Askren ever that you saw in the UFC. And it kind of starts boning the question. I'll ask that here in a second. But in the UFC, he was very much on his tiptoes coming towards you wanting to shoot down. Like that's what he was always doing. In this, you're watching him on. He's back on his heels. He's throwing. He's twisting his hips. Like he's throwing crisp shots. He's quick with it. Like we never saw punches like this in the UFC. You could tell he really trained. Like he legitimately trained. And he talked about how he's like, I pick things up pretty quick. I'm and think about the area. He's a fighter. Like that's a fight. He's no matter what you want to say about Ben Askren, he was a championship fighter in two different leagues. He didn't do it in the UFC. He was older when he got to the UFC. We can talk all that kind of stuff, too.
Olympian.
He got 6 knockouts in the UFC. Mm. Or not in the UFC, sorry, in fighting. Mm. I think he can win. And I think he's kind of been stringing Jake Paul along a little bit. But my big question is, say he wins this. He wins a boxing match. Say he knocks Jake Paul out. Just a decisive, like, third round KO.
YouTubers are done.
YouTubers are done because Logan Paul is going to fight Floyd Mayweather. And why? Like that one is, there's no way Logan Paul wins that. But either way, I'm moving on from that.
But so they postponed the Mayweather Paul fight.
Yeah,
right?
And it's all coming back though. There's a lot of people saying that it's happening. They're just going to let the Ben Askren thing stop like this. They're not trying to match the hype yet. Like they're going to let this one end, and then Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather, kind of the hype's going to build back. That's what I've heard from a bunch of people that are like in that sort of arena. So we'll see. We'll see. Like I've heard it from people that they're for sure going to fight still. They're just waiting to like make it a bigger announcement so that way the Jake Paul Ben Askren thing's done. There's no like competition, so to say.
So is that before or after Henry Cejudo's fight with him?
That was a fake.
Oh, that was garbage.
That was fake.
They got me.
Yeah, Cejudo was just egging it on. So this is the thing with Ben Askren. If Ben Askren comes out, gets a TKO win, knockout win, whatever, and we're watching him punch, do you think he comes back to the UFC? If we're seeing that he evolved his game, and is able to actually strike now. Now, we're talking about boxing. It's a whole lot different. But the one thing he never really had was that he would always shoot. He would always go and shoot. We always knew he wanted to
be a wrestler by trade. That's aggressive. Yeah.
So we know that's his pedigree.
Yep.
You know who else's wrestling pedigree is? John Jones. John Jones is a wrestler. But you wouldn't know that. You just know that's one of his tools. He's going to strike you up, piece you up. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to get you on the ground. He's going to be able to choke you out. Whatever he's got to do. But if Ben Askren is out there like fighting and we're seeing him like actually striking and looking really crisp, hitting really well, there's got to be a piece in his mind that's like, all right, I've got a new tool in the arsenal here that I can match up. And then fighters have to worry. Like the only reason why Jorge Masvidal landed that knee against Ben Askren was because he just assumed he was going to shoot right away.
Mm-hmm.
Masvidal's a fighter, a striker. He's not a ground guy at all. Ben Askren is 100% a ground guy, wants to get him on the ground, make it dirty, suffocate him.
And he's the best way to defend that.
And he just ran, mm-hmm. had practiced it. We saw there was tons of mm-hmm. videos of him practicing everything with that knee. Like it was a plan because they knew that was going to happen. But if you're going to fight Ben Askren and now all of a sudden he's able to strike, you're not going to play that game anymore. And Ben's not going to just walk out and try shooting right away. Like it's going to change his way. So I wonder if he wins this. First of all, his stock is going through the roof.
Over one Paul fight?
Yes. People are falling in love with Ben Askren now because they hate Jake Paul. Jake Paul has become this heel that nobody likes.
Which is what Paul wants.
And it's not the Conor McGregor style. Like, some people are saying he's like the Walmart Conor McGregor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he tries to do the same thing, but it's just not coming off. Like, he doesn't have that. Like, Conor McGregor can make it work because he was, you know, he's Conor McGregor.
He doesn't have that charm.
Exactly. But if Ben Askren wins this unanimously, I can see him coming back to the UFC. I could see the UFC saying, all right, they have a guy they can push out there. They could put on a fight night or something like that, a main event. They can main event Ben Askren because he's getting all this pub. And if you go and look at his social media, ever since all this started, he's been getting sponsorship deal after sponsorship deal after sponsorship deal, like, because he's just getting so much more attention. So, and he's got his podcast, which is like blowing up as well.
It's good to be Askren.
Yeah, I mean, and people are just liking him compared to Jake Paul. So I wonder if we could see him. Do you think you could see him back in the UFC?
I mean, it depends if his heart's into it, if he really wants to go back to fighting or not. I mean, I think he really enjoys coaching. I think that's one of the biggest things for him is having his camps in school and coach wrestling and stuff like that. That's been always his passion. And, you know, he's been fighting for almost, what, 15 plus years?
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's been a while. I mean, he's definitely in it.
You know, when you spoke about Jon Jones, of course, Jon Jones just likes to fight. I mean, he's just, that's his thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's his only
with Askren, it's just kind of like, yeah, it's there. But I'm like, you know. It goes back to that whole commitment thing. Like, are you committed to go back into it, going through the training stuff? And he did speak. I didn't see the training videos of him, but I did read a recent interview, like, you know, how he wanted to train to become an Olympian. He was able to accomplish that, as well as become a UFC fighter and, you know, to hold multiple championships in different weight classes. And he says, but I've been fighting for 17 years, and if I lack in boxing, it won't take me no more than 3 months for me to learn to strike. Yeah.
And I mean, he looked good. And then you look at Jake Paul's open workout, insanity. Didn't throw a single punch. He did like some shadow boxing for a second.
That's scary because if Askren pushes the pace, because wrestlers do that.
Askren kept up a full boxing circuit. Like, he was sitting there hitting pads just over and over again. Yeah. He did it for about 20 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And didn't start sweating.
Yeah.
Like, the cardio's there for him. He was like, I mean, and it was.
Ashton's not worried this at
was,
all.
He was piecing it up. Like, you know, I'm talking, it was a 1-2-1, 3-2-3s. Like, it was all that. Like, he was throwing the combos for about 20 minutes straight. So, what's that about? 5 rounds? Maybe a little more than 5 rounds?
No, it's more than that. I mean, you're looking at 3 minutes. If they're doing what?
Is it 3 minutes rounds?
Well, if it's MMA, 3 minutes, and boxing, it's 2 minutes.
Okay, so we're talking multiple rounds where he didn't stop. He was sitting there talking, too. Yeah. Like, he's in the middle of it just talking, making jokes. And he looked good. He looked good. But Jake Paul on the other side was playing airplane with his trainer. Have you seen that?
No.
You need to look up these videos of Jake Paul. Just type in on Twitter, Jake Paul open workout, and you'll see.
I'm kind of worried to do so.
You'll see Jake Paul. You ever played airplane with a little kid?
Yeah.
They like get on your feet and you hold them up?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Oh my God. I crap you not.
Oh God.
I swear he's like being hoisted up. It's like him stretching. They do it for like 24 minutes. And then he just does nothing. It's really awkward. Like, I don't know. But
do you see it going to decision? Or do you see a knockout here from either fighter?
I do see it going to decision.
Yeah.
That's how I think it's going to go.
I think
Askren's not a...
I think this kind of saves Paul if he does go to decision.
Yeah.
You know, it saves him. He's like, oh, I see. I didn't get knocked out by a UFC fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think it is. Now, first off, I want to say this outright to everybody. Do not put money on this. Okay? Let's learn something from the Mike Tyson fight.
They're putting money on it.
When there was belts. Remember?
Yeah.
They both got a belt. Both belts were already made. Yeah. They were sitting in the back. They were never going to have a winner, and it was a draw. So if you're going to bet anything, bet on it being a draw, because that's what they're doing with this. Like, I remember DraftKings and all of them were like sponsoring and all this different stuff for that fight. And, man, that made me think different about them, because how can you say this was actually a fight? Because remember, it was like, how does Mike Tyson win? Does Mike Tyson win by KO, or does Roy Jones win by KO and all this different stuff? Never in danger for that. Never even thought it was going to happen.
In the deep of, like, Like, to my core, I think it's going to be a draw, which is why I don't want to buy the package. That's why I don't want to watch the fight, because I feel like it's already rigged. Like, it's like, that's just putting a story in my head. Now, can it be true or not? Yeah, I mean.
It's much harder to illegally stream these, too, the Triller fights compared to the UFC fights.
I just wait for the highlights on ESPN if they put it on there. That's all I wait for, because I'm like, see.
Twitter's going to have it up instantly. Part of me wants to buy it. I don't even know how much is it. It's probably, what, $50?
$50, something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I can buy it.
The only thing is, what's swaying me to get it is because of the undercard fights. Those are pretty good.
You know? I just don't care about them. I mean, it's weird that Frank Mir's on there. I haven't seen Frank Mir since Brock Lesnar pulled a horseshoe out of his ass and beat his head over with it.
But he's got hands. I mean, so I just don't know. I mean,
it's going to be fun. But what happens regardless? Because the outcome's going to be fun.
Let me ask you this. So I was asking you before, you know, during the break, like, did you see the Askin Paul podcast when he went on with his brother?
Yeah, I've seen clips. I've seen a lot of the clips of it.
They would always ask him, like, what's next? Like, his brother was asking him, like, you know, well, like, what's, you know, Logan was asking him, like, what's next if you, whatever. And he's like, well, it could be anything. He's like, I could be knocked out, and or I can win the fight, and I can fight you.
Yeah. I don't think that happens.
So you don't think brother will fight him if other brother loses fight?
No, I don't think so. Because, like I said, it's been really documented that no matter what, Logan Paul is going to be fighting Floyd Mayweather. Like, they're going to make that money fight happen. Just because of the size of it and the scope, it'll happen. But I think Askren probably... Like, I think him going to the UFC has more of a chance than him fighting Logan Paul. You know, going back to fighting... Because, you know, he's going to get a boost in this. Like, there's no... Like, he's already done it. Like, we already talked about that. He's already getting the recognition. He's already getting the fame, all that kind of stuff from it. People are loving him. If you go into any of the videos and see his comments, the way he talks, he's very lovable. People just really like him. And he is a good guy. Like, he's a really good, honest guy. And even in that the Logan Paul podcast that you're talking about, he talked, like, he gave, like, really good information. He talked about how he had the fastest knockout in the UFC, and he got hit in that knee, and what it was like. Like, he said, I went home, it sucked, I felt bad about it, and then, you know, I moved on with my life. Like, other things are going to pop up, other people are going to care about other things, and, like, he gave really good advice about it, and I think... Talking about, like, embarrassing moments and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, with the students and stuff, like little kids.
Right.
He's like, they'll make fun of it. And then when they become teenagers and older, then
they forget about it and move on. And he's got kids and he's got a life, a family. He doesn't care. Like, this isn't going to define him, is what he was basically saying. And people heard that and was like, wow, I really like Ben Askren now. Because Ben Askren had kind of become that annoying guy. Like, if you remember in the UFC, he was the guy who would always, like, get on his podcast, go on interviews, talk a lot of crap about whoever he was fighting. He would do things like that, try to egg the fight on, sell the fight, that sort of thing. And now he's taking this opposite role where he's the wise statesman who is caring and doesn't try to start the fight or beg the fight or anything. I don't know. I think a lot of people have liked it. I wish I could just buy that fight. Like, they should have a way to just buy that fight, not just the whole card, because I don't want to pay for the whole card. I want to buy just that fight. That would be so much smarter. I think they would make so much more money if they were like, you could buy this fight. It's $15. You can just see this fight. Why not do that instead of paying $50 for a whole card you don't want to see? All right, let's go to the phone lines. Man, my throat. All that drainage getting back there, man. It's just, it hurts sometimes. You got to cough. Makes you feel better, though. 615-844-5600. Let's go to our main man, Turner Johnson. Turner, how you doing, buddy?
Zach, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. We missed you last week. I'm glad you're back here, but let's just get right into it. What's your ultimate thoughts about Jadeveon Clowney signing to the Browns?
You know, as someone that currently lives in Browns country, I'm glad to know that he's gone. It's fun to see my buddies that are Browns fans get super excited about him. I'm glad it's not another year of super long free agency and he signs right before. And as a Titans fan, I'm looking to see, you know, what's going to happen. Now I know what's going to happen. He's gone, and I'm able to just part ways with that, and I'm totally okay that he's playing with the Browns.
Do you think that him being with Myles Garrett is any better than him being partnered with J.J. Watt?
I don't think it's necessarily a huge advantage. I think on paper it looks terrifying, but if you look at Jadeveon Clowney's production since like 2018, 2019, I think he has like 3 sacks over the last 2 years. So unless something has clicked in his brain, or he's motivated by something new and he's going to be healthy, I'm not really thinking he's going to make some big immediate impact in Cleveland.
Do you think it's better that the Titans didn't try pushing or pursuing him, and that they kind of just let that all those mistakes from last year move away?
I think so. I think the Titans have been very intentional to, you know, point fingers that, hey, it was a personnel problem, not a coaching problem, on the defense last year. Let's get some of this bad personnel away. It saves some Titans. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney would not have been cheap to re-sign, and the Titans weren't going to structure a multi-year deal for him anyway. So having some of that cap space lifted as well, you know, gives the Titans some options. I have no idea what they'll do with it, if they've got any big plans, but it's good to know. It's good to move on.
So tell me, what is going on with Radnor Wine and Spirits?
Well, yesterday, Walt and I gave a fantastic presentation on bourbon to a Rotary Club. It's just another way. We've got a very knowledgeable and experienced staff. I mean, Walt has owned this store for 22 years, knows it like the back of his hand. If you have any questions about bourbon, wine, any sort of spirits other than that, like, come in and talk to us. You know, we've got a fantastic selection of single barrel store picks that we're really proud of, some great craft beer, some really good local beer, and then some really good value wines and spirits as well. I think we're really proud of our selection. We've got a very knowledgeable staff that can really take care of any of your questions, any of your needs.
What is a characteristic of bourbon that you should look for if you're buying bourbon?
So for me, I like to find a good value in bourbon, and everybody's tastes are different. So something that I like, somebody else might not like, and vice versa. But what's really popular these days are the weeded bourbons. You know, bourbon has to be 51% corn, but of that remaining 49%, if an excess of it is weeded, it's going to be a little sweeter. Think like Maker's Mark. That's one that is generally a little sweeter because of the weeded, and that's something that a lot of people look for. So if you're somebody that really likes, you know, nice bourbon, you like the Weller and the Blanton's, that's a weeded bourbon. Mm. Well, if that's not available, try something like Maker's Mark 46 or Maker's Mark 107 or something like Larceny. These are good bottles that are always on the shelf, you know, that aren't going to break the bank and are going to do the same job as anything else.
Tell them where they can find you.
We're at 3625 8th Avenue, right off Gale Lane. Come and see us. We just got a brand new sign, lighted sign over the storefront. It looks fantastic.
What? I gotta go see that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, oh, you do. It looks great. Came in last week. It's finally all lit up. It looks fantastic. Come see us. We can talk Titans. We can talk draft needs, and you know, we can answer any questions you have about any sort of wine and spirits.
Awesome, Turner. Well, I appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you later this week, brother.
All right, see you, Zach.
Turner Johnson with Radnor Wine and Spirits. Like they said, man, they can talk sports with you and talk about life, talk about bourbon, talk everything. Radnor Wine and Spirits is the place to go if you're looking to upgrade your drinking game a little bit. If you're wanting to kind of learn a little bit more, it's very now. I mean, like you said, they're knowledgeable. They really do know. They can help you kind of filter in the. I'm not a big like expert at all when it comes to like fine liquors and things like that. I don't know anything of wines or anything, so I trust people like Turner and Walt over at Radnor Wine and Spirits. You want to go over there, I promise you're gonna have a good time. Check them out on Instagram as well, Radnor Liquors 615, so you can see all their new drops and everything that they're gonna have out there at Radnor Wine and Spirits. We're gonna take a break, back after this right here on MSM.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
At Slim Chickens, you and your family are our first priority. In every restaurant, we're working to ensure our food is safe, fresh, and ready when you are. From in-store pickup, curbside service, or now, you can get it delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim's app. We're here for you, and we're ready to serve. Download the Slim Chickens app to order, earn rewards, and get it delivered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Six one five eight four four five six zero zero 844-5600. That's the number you got to call in if you want to get in. Let's go to current events, Ray. Let's talk about some current events. What you got today?
So the first one we were talking about a little bit was, did you see the dad who saved his kid from the bobcat?
Was it the kid or the wife?
I saw a wife, but I saw a kid like in a car seat.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember.
There's definitely a wife. I don't know if there's another kid there.
I saw her holding something while she was running into the house.
Let's not bury the lead here, though. Okay, all right. This guy caught a bobcat and threw it. I saw that. It was insane to me because I have two house cats at home. And they are so strong. Like those cats, like the cats that I have, are so strong, so athletic, and they're little. Like, they're tiny. A bobcat, I mean, you saw that thing. It was like...
It's like the medium-sized dog, almost.
Yeah, and he picked it up and threw it. Yeah.
All adrenaline.
They got the claws are probably digging into him the whole time, too.
He held him up for, like, a couple seconds. It felt like he was saying something to him, like, yo, you trying to get...
He was like the cat's like, yo, man, I'm a cat. I'm a bobcat.
I feel like he just didn't know what to do with it, so he was like, and then just tossed it.
Man, I tell you, that was crazy. What a crazy video. Like, you know, in the moments of panic, you never know how you're going to react. Like, I'm not saying if my wife was going to get hit by a bobcat, I would, like, run away or anything. I'm just saying, like, the idea that he was like, no matter what, I'm grabbing this bobcat and I'm throwing it. It was just instantaneous reaction. Good on him, man. That's tough. Which leads me to my question. Which animal do you think you can beat up? It's got to be like a fair fight. Like, it's not a...
Like a monkey?
You're not fighting a canary. Yeah, it could be a monkey. Like what size monkey?
A bear? Like...
What size bear, though? You know what I mean? Like,
if it's a bear, it's got to be a cub. Like,
well, that's a baby. This is a talk. We're talking about a grown-up animal. You can't beat up a baby.
There's no way I can beat up a bear.
I'm not like going to wait for the lion to get born and then
some
jump it.
Some cubs are huge, man.
It's like you see the people messing with like kangaroos and the kangaroos attack.
I'm not messing with a kangaroo.
See,
I'm
that's
sorry.
One. Jump. I think I could beat up a kangaroo. No. I've seen videos. They throw a lot of jabs. They don't duck.
They jabs?
They throw jabs.
I see kicks. I've never seen jabs.
They used to do that. So, sorry, PETA. They used to do that where, like back in the day, kangaroo fights. Like, they put, like, gloves on them and stuff and have, like, boxers go up against them. I don't know if that was cartoons or that was real, now that I'm talking about it. That could have been a cartoon. Well,
there's that one. I remember watching a movie growing up. I can't remember the name of it, but it was, like, I think the kangaroo's name was Jack, and like it was just like
Yeah, he had like a hoodie on and sunglasses. Yeah, I remember that.
That's when you first said, like, the fighting kangaroo thing.
Oh man, that's crazy. I totally remember that.
Like Brian's like Bobby's like the nicest guy. I can see him fighting a sloth. Yeah, fight him with sloth.
Yeah.
I'd have to wake him up first. That'd be rude.
You'd have to what's the fight, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta fight one that's fair. Like, it's a fair, like a kangaroo would be a fair fight. Like, they could mess you up as well. Like, this isn't like a you're jumping an
That's
animal.
Fine. I could take that, but I don't see you beating them. I don't know either, man.
I don't know if I do either.
Those kicks
be close.
Are hard, man.
Well, I just got to dodge them. I just got to watch it. He's going to go off
like,
the tail.
It's like UFC with the teeps. I don't know if you ever felt a teep, like where it's just a front kick to like basically the abdomen.
It's like your solar plexus
and
all that.
Oh, my God. It knocks the wind out of you.
But see.
You just need one.
It won't happen if you just dodge it.
Oh, because he's got the quick twitch. Remember that?
That quick twitch. That's what I'm saying. Look, the twitch is quick. The movement is slow. That's what I'm trying to say here, man.
After the fact, it's like, yeah, I'm done.
It's a quick twitch, but it's a slow like burst afterwards.
What if your quick twitch actually goes into the front kick?
Oh, man, I'm done. I'm out.
Then you're done.
KO, please shoot the kangaroo. Get it off me, you know? Honor and DMX, what he says. Remember, DMX, if you see me in a fight with a grizzly bear, help the bear. Man. No, help me.
All right. He's already thought about it. He's like, I'm not going to outrun this, so I'm just going to have to beat it up.
I would never shoot a kangaroo. I just want to get that out there. I would never fight an animal. It's all parody. I feel like we just got to say that. It's parody. But yeah, good on that guy getting rid of that bobcat. That was crazy. Just having a wild animal attack you like that. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for me. I go running around my neighborhood, and I freak out every time I think a dog's about to chase me. I remember there was one time recently I was running, this was probably like last summer, but I was running and I heard something. I had headphones on and I heard something, and just this gigantic dog right behind me screaming at me, like chasing me and all this stuff, probably trying to nip my feet and everything. Terrified me. Made me run faster though, so that's good. What else you got?
So I don't know if you were able to see like the highlight reel from University of Tennessee's John Fulkerson. But it looks like he's returning to UT.
I think he evaluated his draft stock, thought he was a lot better than he was, and got out there, and the NBA was like, yeah, we'll take you, you're going to go to the G League probably. And he was like, all right, I'm going to go back to Tennessee and try to build my draft stock up a little bit more. So is that good for Tennessee? Yeah, he's a good player, but does he make them like him alone, is he going to be able to will that Vols program up? No, I don't think so. I like the guy. I just think he hated how he went out last year with the elbow in the SC tournament, and then Tennessee flounders, and then they flounder first game in. He didn't get to play in the tournament.
Right.
You know, it's just he just wants to end it there. I don't think he's going to be a great NBA talent. So I think that's what he's kind of seeing. I think he's trying to develop, and he realized that he wasn't going to get drafted high or any. I don't even think he was going to get drafted probably. Grant Williams is a much better player than him, and Grant Williams got taken much later. Mm-hmm. And what's I think he's still with the Celtics right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very much a bench player. I just don't think he's. I think he saw what was going to happen and was like, I'll ride it out. Tennessee loves me, so let's do this. So good for him though. Hopefully he gets better. Hopefully he progresses. Hopefully the development's there. Right now though, I think he's just not an NBA talent. Okay. What else?
So we got a couple. Fights tonight, right? We talked about the Whitaker fights on UFC as well as the Paul fight versus Askren. But
uh-huh.
I don't know if you were able to see this, but we've got this anticipated like Nate Diaz versus Leon Rocky Edwards for UFC 262. I don't know if you were able to see what Usman's manager said, that he said that if Nate Diaz will be the number one contender if he defeats Leon Rocky Edwards UFC and UFC 262. Kobe Chaos Covington is not the number one contender. Thoughts?
Insanity. Nate Diaz is not going to win against Leon Edwards. You don't just... It's a great matchup in the idea that they're, you know, they're going to brawl it out, which that's what Diaz wanted. That's why they're getting this fight. That's why they're making it five rounds for without a belt. Mm-hmm. Usman is praying Diaz wins somehow because he wants to fight Diaz as the next one. This is the thing. When you're a champion, the fighters have to fight you. You know, they have to fight your fight because you're defending at that point. You're defending every single... You're defending from the big shot. You're defending from being taken down. All this different stuff. This is why when we saw Jorge Masvidal come in, what was the first thing Usman started doing? Push him up against the cage. Stomp his feet. Stuff we had never seen Usman do. Mm-hmm. But it was because he was like, I know I'm going to win this way.
Right.
That's exactly what he would do against Diaz. He's like, I'm gonna smother him. He's not going to be able to land shots. I'm going to put him against the cage, and I'm just going to out-strength him. I'm going to manhandle him the whole time. Mm-hmm. So... Of course, Usman doesn't want to fight Covington. Look, he broke Covington's jaw. I get that. Covington put up a fight. He was not gonna be able to push around Covington the way he was. And so they got into a fight. And Covington gave him some shots too. There were some times he really popped Usman. Mm-hmm. He didn't wear it as well as what Covington wore it.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to fight Covington again if I was Usman because that was a fight. That wasn't, you know, the Jorge's Masvidal and we push him against the cage and I'm just better than him.
Right.
You know, Covington can actually defend. Covington can defend the takedowns. He can defend the pressure. He can defend all those different things. So, I don't blame him. I don't blame him for saying, yeah, I want to fight Diaz, of course. Mm-hmm. And also, by the way, he don't want to fight Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards, people don't know his name. That guy's a monster. Diaz is going to get knocked out. That's my prediction for that fight. Diaz is going to get knocked out like two rounds in. And I get he's a tough guy. No one ever knocks out Diaz. He's been gone too long. Edwards is going to wear him like a shirt.
I have to agree with you, even though it hurts to say that. But yeah, I mean, that's just how I'm a big Diaz fighter. I'm a huge Diaz fan because he just...
Me too.
The dude's just a fighter. Like he just doesn't matter who it is, when it is, he's there.
He needs to lose. McGregor needs to lose. They need to fight their trilogy, and they both need to ride onto the sunset with their buckets of cash that they're going to get from it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is what it is. What else you got?
So this is a little fantasy question.
Fantasy, but like football?
Kind of. Oh. It's video game fantasy.
Okay, we play that.
Huh?
Me and Bobby play that.
Okay. So video game athlete fantasy draft, okay? Who are you picking number one? I'm going to give you a list of 10 players. Tell me who you're going to go with. Stephen Curry, NBA 2K16.
Okay, I see what we're doing here.
Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Ronaldo in FIFA 08. Pablo Sanchez in Backyard Baseball. Ken Griffey Jr. in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Matt in Wii Sports. Stretch in NBA Street. Reggie Bush in NCAA Football.
Yeah.
And Michael Vick, Matt in 2004.
So, is the rules is that they're playing in their respective sport?
Yes.
Okay, so Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl. Because there was a glitch where Bo Jackson was faster than everyone. You could never tackle him.
Over Mike Tyson?
Yes. You could beat Mike Tyson. It was very hard. But literally, if you ever watch an old Tecmo Bowl game, Bo Jackson, he was the cover athlete, and he was faster than everyone else in the game. So you could run zigzag the whole time. Nobody could ever tackle you. He had a quick twitch to the left. And it would go right.
That's the word of the day. Quick twitch.
Quick twitch, baby. But yeah, so yeah, Bo Jackson, 100%. You could literally, there's like videos of people just running the entire quarter out, and then they just run and score a touchdown, going up and down the field the whole time. No one could tackle him. Now, if I'm being not a loser out of this and picking like a fun one,
you have to go Matt Wii Sports. Come on, man.
No, they don't have any. They don't have any skills. They're all even. It's just that one guy. I'm gonna go. 04 Michael Vick was super fun, but I gotta go with my buddy, the secret weapon, Pablo Sanchez. Dude, I could still hear his music. Like, I could still hear all of that and him coming out. He had the smallest strike zone in the game for backyard baseball. He would launch rockets. He can come up and pitch. He was throwing ropes, man. Any game, soccer, basketball, whatever it was, Pablo Sanchez was his nickname, the secret weapon, for a reason. That guy was the best.
I mean, I didn't really get too much. I played the Madden with Michael Vick, so I'm going to go with that one. But like,
did you ever play any backyard baseball or anything?
I very slightly remember playing it, but I was very young. And then I've heard people talk about that Steph Curry, like 2016 NBA.
Oh yeah, you get greens all day with him.
All day,
yeah, like it's unbelievable. That's what I've heard. But yeah, that's
well, that's a good segue into let's talk about a little CDL update because I know that's part of this current event.
So big news for the CDL, the
Call of Duty League. For anyone who's new to this,
Last weekend was the end of the second major. You had the Toronto Ultra going on a huge loser's bracket run. They lost a FaZe in the winner's round. They dropped down in loser's bracket, and they run all the way back through to a rematch with FaZe in the grand finals, and they actually end up beating them. So it was a very entertaining weekend.
Yeah, FaZe almost
got
there.
That's my team, right?
Yeah.
God, man.
Don't ask us. Is it your team?
Side note, big news for the Call of Duty League. They announced on Twitter earlier this week that in coordination with all their teams, they're happy to announce that the league plans to return to LAN tournaments at select events later this season. And LAN tournaments are local area network tournaments where basically all the teams compete in the same building, same area, on the same network, so they don't have to worry about playing online and having, like, you know, variations in internet connections, stuff like that. They're all in the same place playing. So very exciting that we're actually going to see our teams competing in the same room, possibly having fans.
Well, so they can't have fans? I was going to ask you, like, are they not fans there?
I mean, this is select events, so there's going to be multiple. I imagine the first two, you know, maybe first one, they don't. But I think by the time we get to the World Championships in August, they're going to have fans back in the building.
And what this does is it alleviates a lot of the problems. They were talking about lag and all this different stuff because they're playing remote. So they're going off at different internet connections and all. And then you start talking about where the servers are located for all this different stuff. So that's going to be a big part that they can't say anymore.
Yeah. And like for example, like Toronto won this weekend and they're based in Toronto. Like they're all actually in a compound in Toronto playing together, where like a majority of the league is based in like the Texas area because that's where the best internet is. So people were kind of like starting this controversy that Toronto, they won because of the servers and stuff like that, and they're based in Toronto. But
what do you think? What teams? Because you know this better. What teams and personalities and players do a whole lot better with the live side? Because like we talk about stereotypes with video game professional video game players. A lot of them don't have the personality that jumps out, and a lot of people don't in general, but jump out on a stage and they're by themselves or they're with their team, whatever, that shine and that make them play well.
Yeah.
But when they're in their house alone, you know, in a room by themselves, they might feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah,
and it's a little easier for them. So which teams do you think has that benefit?
The benefit of playing from home or the benefit of playing in the crowd?
Both. So, yeah.
Well, playing in a crowd, you've got like Optic Chicago. They have a guy named Skump. He does really good in live events.
That's who I thought instantly was Skump because he does a lot of streaming also. Like, he kind of likes the crowd environment.
Yeah. Another guy's going to be Clayster. He plays for the New York Subliners. He is like one of the hypest. He will get up and yell at you across the stage and let you know that you are terrible if you make a bad play. And people just love seeing him live. It's great. He won a tournament in Miami a couple years ago, and I was there live to watch it, and it was just the craziest thing ever whenever they won. It was awesome. I can't wait to get back to live events.
Well, so where's it going to be? Where's the first one at?
They haven't announced yet. They just said in coordination with the teams. It's later this year they're going to have. The speculation is like we're about to go into Major 3, which probably won't be that, but maybe Major 4 and 5 they'll have LAN event, and then, like I said, Champs will be in August, or at least that's when people are speculating, that they'll have fans and teams at the event in August.
So it's got to be down south, I assume.
I would imagine.
It can't be. I mean, California ain't going to let it go.
I mean, there's an
Texas
eSports.
Texas or Florida.
Yeah,
Texas or Florida, that's what I was
there's
thinking.
There's an eSports arena like in like Frisco, Texas, that they use for like certain things. And there's another one in Los Angeles. The Riot Studios kind of have like an eSports arena out there. So that could be it. But I feel like Texas is the most likely option.
They have the, like the least restrictions.
Yeah. What about UFC going full? Aren't they going 100% capacity for this next pay-per-view fight?
I think that's the one for the Conor fight, right?
Is that Conor fight?
Yeah. Sold out already. I saw the announcements all over Facebook, blasted on Twitter. Like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited
for
all that.
Yeah.
Also, there was all the Conor drama that happened earlier this week, too, with Dustin Poirier. Yeah, we'll talk about that on the other end. If you haven't heard about this stuff, it's pretty insane, but you're going to like listening to the story, I promise. We're going to take a break. Before we go into that break, though, we got to talk about our friends over at Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. Look, located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. You got to find a car buying situation that's going to fit a lot of different pieces for you. You got to find one that's going to fit your personality. You got to find a car that's going to fit your budget, most importantly, your lifestyle, all these different things. You got to make sure that you're dealing with people that care about those problems in your life. And Nissan of Rivergate does that in spades. Go check them out on their website, nissanofrivergate.com. You can see the entire inventory of new and used vehicles on the lot, so that way you can see what they have going on the lot, but also what they have going on for their deals and sales initiatives, all these different things they have for you to be able to be a process to help you save money in the long run, because that's what it's all about. All the, like I've said a million times, all the vehicles I've ever purchased have been from Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. You're going to love the process. You're going to love the people. Give them a call at 615-541-4757. Again, the number is 541-4757. Or, again, you can go to their website, nissanofrivergate.com. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Welcome back to Love League. It's time for Jack to meet our final contestant, April Games. April is a fun-seeking Aries who loves fresh flowers, afternoon showers, and winning. April, describe your perfect night.
Well, Bob, I like to pick up some instant games, find my favorite lucky coin, and see where the night takes me.
Oh, okay. Well, Jack, who will it be?
Yeah, I'm gonna take April Games, Bob.
It's hard not to pick a winner when you pick April Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly. Get ready to knock down some fun with new multiplier instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. Four great games that can multiply your next win into big money. Play for $1, $2, $5, or $10 for your chance to win up to $1 million in cash. Pick up a multiplier game today, and with a little luck, your cash could do some serious math. Multiplier games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings, here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at nissanofrivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
It's a Bill King show.
Whoever gets hired at any school, the fan base is immediately hypnotized. Once that guy stands at the podium and he says, go team, and here's the way it's going to be, and I'm a winner, the fans automatically just melt. They could hire a guy you've never heard of from a different planet, and once that guy's done at the podium, you'd say, there it is. Happens every time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Welcome back in, 615-844-5600, the number you got to call in if you want to get in on the show. This is the last few moments of the show. We don't have much time left. It's almost over. So you got to jump in on the phone lines while you can. So before we came off, going to that commercial break, talked about the Conor McGregor Poirier situation that's going on with them right now. The fight is officially now going to happen. But earlier this week, it came out that McGregor had not paid. Poirier came out and said that he had not paid the $500,000 to the Good Fight Foundation, which is Poirier's foundation and charity that he runs, that he had offered from the first time they fought, which made McGregor look very bad. Like, he promised him $500,000, said all this stuff, said he loved him, all this different stuff, said the Good Fight Foundation was all great and everything. Then he didn't go through with it. So a lot of people are on McGregor's case about it, saying, you know, you said you were going to do this. You talk about all this money you have, all this different stuff, but here you are. Well, it started a war on Twitter, and I mean an absolute war. And it looks like McGregor is trying to become the old McGregor. Like, he started talking, I mean, a lot of crap towards Poirier on Twitter.
Talking about he's gonna, Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, he's not being nice this time. Like, this last fight, we saw him be nice, and it was weird. He didn't have that swagger about him. You know, I think he's a guy that really feeds. We're talking about, you know, with the esports and CDL. Players and fighters, the same, feed off the crowd energy. And I think McGregor's a guy, he needs the crowd energy to get him up. And he didn't have that in that fight last time against Poirier. So then it came out that McGregor said, he goes on Twitter and says, we were waiting for what you were going to do with the money. Like, he wanted to see where the $500,000 was going to go inside the foundation. He didn't want to give $500,000 and then Poirier just pockets $500,000, which makes sense. Said, you don't know the money game at all. Or he said, welcome to the money game or something like that. The fight is off. Good luck on your old contract, kid. And so when we thought, okay, the fight's over. They're not gonna fight now. Well, then it came out just, I think, yesterday or maybe 2 days ago. McGregor and Poirier both signed their contracts now. They're 100% going to fight. Like, it's happening no matter what now. But I think McGregor is trying to spark a little bit of that magic McGregor stuff that he did when it was the Eddie Alvarez, when it was the Jose Aldo, when it was the Floyd Mayweather tour beforehand, how he just got out there, got on the mic, started talking crazy. Yeah. You know, like, that's where he builds his energy. Where do you think that fight goes?
I think Poirier wins.
Man, I hate it. I think it does too. But if it's McGregor, if we're talking about, and I know we heard this all their last fight, a motivated McGregor. He's motivated. Oh, motivated. Scary guy. He didn't look all that motivated when he came out and got knocked out.
I got 100 million. I'm not motivated to do anything. I'm good.
And he was walking down the ramp, and it wasn't, you know, he wasn't walking with swagger in it. He was just walking. And he's like waving at the camera and all this stuff. Like, he looks scared to be there. I think if there is a full crowd and he has full capacity, then they're screaming for McGregor. You see the Irish flags going in the crowd, all that stuff. I think that wakes him up for the fight. Because remember the fight against Cowboy Cerrone, which a lot of people will say, oh, you beat up an old Cerrone. Well, he beat up an old Cerrone very quickly. Like, there was something to that. Donald Cerrone is not a guy you just walk in and destroy. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't happen through his career. Mm-hmm. That was a full capacity fight. I think that was like their last full capacity fight, if mm-hmm. I remember right. Especially their last big pay-per-view before the COVID happened. But yeah, he gets up for it. He was like serious too, man. He came out, he did all his stuff, and he went out there. And in that one, he wasn't being, like, he talked about, there'll be blood that will be spilled, but it will not be bad blood. Remember that? Because he respected Cerrone. He respected everything he did for the fight game, how long he's been there. But I don't know, man. I was nervous. I was nervous this week when McGregor made it seem like he wasn't going to fight.
Did I see somewhere where Khabib actually made like a donation?
So it was like, that was the thing that, and this all got egged on more on Twitter, was that it came out, and like, this kills me. It came out that McGregor said he was going to give $500,000, made it all public and all this stuff, and he never does it, right? And that pisses everybody off. But Khabib supposedly makes a $200,000 donation to the Good Fight Foundation, and there's no press about it. But how the hell are we hearing about it?
Mm-hmm.
If there's no press about it, why is there press about it?
Right.
Am I crazy? Like, he told somebody.
No, not at all.
He wanted people to know that he gave the $200,000. Otherwise, we wouldn't know about it. So, it's crazy to me. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this week's edition of MSM. Everybody, I hope you have a great week. Bobby, good job today. Ray, good job today. Thank you so much for liking, commenting, all those different things, calling in. We appreciate everything. Enjoy Vanderbilt at 2:45 and Grizz at 7:30. If nobody's told you, I will tell you I love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on MSM.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be in